One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. There's a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. When you're listening to this, I am trying to get a spooky flash tattoo. I have never gotten a tattoo on Friday the 13th before, and I really want to. If you don't know, a lot of tattoo artists will do flash sheets on Friday the 13th, and they'll tattoo their little flash designs at a discounted price. Earlier this year, I went to try to get a flash tattoo, and I showed up right as the event started. It was like 10 a.m., and they were tattooing all day. I showed up right at 10 a.m. because I was like, oh, I live right here. I'll just walk over. I was already too late at 10 a.m. The whole day was booked up before they even like hit the starting time. So I'm going to try to get there earlier this Friday the 13th, see if I can get a flash tattoo, because I just feel addicted to getting tattoos right now. I want to get my thigh tattoo so badly, so badly. I probably shouldn't, because it's going to be a lot of money, and I have already gotten a lot of tattoos this year, so I should probably wait, but it's on my mind. Just know I'm thinking about it. This past weekend, I went to the Ren Fair with my friends, which I've never been to a Ren Fair before. It was super fun. I love any excuse to dress up and speak in a British accent all day. Like, you don't have to ask me twice, babe. Of course I will. Of course I will dress up and put on little elf ears and walk around and use a British accent. Fucking, that sounds like a great day to me. So me and all my friends went, enjoyed the Ren Fair. It was really something. I got my tarot cards read at the Ren Fair. We like walked down, there was like a little alley street. It's definitely not a street, but I don't know what to call it. Like when you're in like the Ren Fair Village, it does feel like you're walking on streets. Anyways, there was like a little street of just like a bunch of tarot card readers. And I'm always down to get my tarot cards read. I've been particularly interested in that kind of stuff recently. I've always been interested in it, but I just feel very interested recently, probably because I find it very comforting and reassuring. And there's just been a lot going on this year for me emotionally. It's been a really good year, but it's been a big year of growth for me, I'll put it that way. And so I feel like I've needed, there's been a lot of moments where I've just been like, I need like reassurance that I'm on the right path, or that things are going well. I need a sign. I need something. And so I feel like there's just been moments where I've, been more interested in like spirituality and tarot and astrology and whatever. I know some people are like raising eyebrows or shit like that or whatever. I don't really care. It's fun for me and it makes me feel good. So I don't care if other people don't like it, because I do like it. So that's how I feel. So I went over to her and I sat down. She read my tarot and it made me so emotional. Yes, I did cry at the Ren Fair. As she was talking to me, it was a pretty long reading. She was thorough with it. I teared up twice while she was talking to me, but I sucked it back in because I was like, you're not going to cry right now in front of this stranger. So I sucked it back in, but I knew that I was going to cry the second I walked away from her. So the second I got up from the table and walked over to my friends, I started crying. And they were like, what did she say to you? And I was like, no, I'm not crying because it was bad. I'm just crying because she's right. I think it just like overwhelmed me how accurate what she was saying was. She wasn't saying anything that I didn't already know. But what she was saying was the truth. And she also wasn't bullshitting or sugarcoating it and making it seem sweeter. Like, she was, the hard truths about life right now that I know already, she was repeating back to me. And I was like, damn, if I didn't already know that, that would probably like suck to hear. But I do already know that. So it just feels almost comforting to me to have it affirmed and to hear someone be like, this is what it is. But the path you are taking and the way you're taking care of yourself and the patience and trust that you are exercising is truthful to you and you're on the right path, sort of thing. I don't know. And maybe that's just what I have been wanting to hear. This is, I feel a lot of just like, I feel very much that I'm taking life day by day a lot of the time recently. That's not a good or a bad thing, right? It's just, I feel like I'm always like, God damn, I don't really know what the right thing to do is here. I don't know the right way to express how I feel. I don't know the right way to say everything that I want to say. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I feel like I've been going through a lot of things for the first time recently. Maybe that's what it is, where I just feel like a baby in some ways, where I'm like, I don't know how to fucking handle this. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just trying my best. And so I feel like I'm taking life day by day and just figuring it out as I go. And I have been really patient and trusting with myself and with other people this year. And I feel that I've been doing a good job and just taking it day by day. But I have had a lot of moments where I've been like, can someone tell me that I'm doing this right? Can somebody tell me that I'm on the right path, that like what I'm doing right now is worth something, that I don't know. And I know we won't know all of this. I can't have all the answers, but that's why people turn to spiritual practices, to get answers for the things we can't possibly have answers for. I don't know what's gonna happen in 6 months, in a year. I don't know how the story is going to end up when it's in the middle of being written. But sometimes I would just love if my future self, if some higher power, if the guardian angels, the people that have loved me, that have passed, that are watching over me, like if I could just have a sign from them that's like, yes, this is challenging and you are growing a lot in this period and you're doing a lot of things for the first time and you are showing up for yourself in a lot of brand new and confusing ways, but you're doing it, and what you are working on, what you are healing from, what you're growing through right now is like all going to be for the best if you just give it time. And yeah, I just, a lot of what she said in the tarot reading just hit for me. It fucking hit. It made a lot of sense, and yeah, I felt good. I don't know. I find stuff like that comforting. I know that not everyone likes it, and that's okay. Not everyone needs to like it. I'm someone that really doesn't know what I believe in. I'm very open-minded to everything, though. So I don't feel judgmental of any kind of spiritual practices. I don't like organized religion, but spirituality is different to me. I feel very open-minded about all of it. I don't know what I believe in. I don't know what I think is true or not true, but I know what feels comforting and what feels good. And I think I am more inclined to believe that there is, I don't know, power in the universe, that our actions stack on top of each other and multiply, that our future selves and, our guardian angels, that they have stake in what happens to us there have been moments in my life where I felt like I was getting a clear sign. And I feel like a lot, there's been a lot of moments in life over the last 3 months, 2-3 months for me, where there's just been like crazy shit happening. There's a weird coincidences all the time where I'm like, what are the odds of that? It happens 24/7 too, where it feels like every single day there's something insane happening. And I'm like, how did that happen? What the fuck is going on? And it doesn't, I don't know, most of the time for me, those like when I'm having like a string of weird coincidences, especially when it's been going on for as long as it has, it feels like I'm being told to pay attention, or I'm being told to just like observe, sit, I'm on the right path. Like it just feels like a affirmation, like a thumbs up to me. So just like pay attention and be patient and know that I'm right where I'm meant to be. I have so much lube in my bedside drawer. I probably have a lifetime supply at this point. And honestly, good for me, because lube is such an important component to having great sex. And listen, I'm looking to have a lot of great sex in my life. Introducing Mochi Melt, the most delicious and beautifully designed lube to live right on your nightstand. They have 3 mouthwatering flavors, honeydew, strawberry, and watermelon, that will take you and your partner on a delicious adventure through every inch of each other's bodies. Obviously, I am a big supporter of using lube during sex or masturbation. Lube is just something that makes the experience so much more comfortable and overall more enjoyable, because it really does make sex so much more enjoyable. It feels so much better. So if you're looking to elevate your sexual experiences and try out some flavored lubricants, you can get 15% off with the code emotionally online at MochiMelt.com. That's 15% off your order when you go to MochiMelt.com and use code emotionally online. So that was really nice. I actually also got my Aura Red the day before, which this is interesting because I've gotten my Aura Red 4 times and it's always been years apart. It's been a while since I've done it. I did one in, it was like 2017, 2018, 2019, and then 2023 that I did it. And I went to go get my Aura Red for the 4th time. And I was saying to my friends, I was like, you know, it's been a few years since I've gotten my Aura Red, so maybe it'll be different. But when I got my Aura Red in 2017, 2018, 2019, all of my photos looked insanely similar. I'm always like majority red. And then I'll maybe have some orange and some yellow. I think 1 year I had purple at the top, but it's always like majority red with like a hint of another color sometimes. The first time I did it, it was all red. The next year, it was like red with yellow on the right side of the photo, which is supposed to be like the 2 weeks that are coming. It's like it moves from past to future when you look at it left to right. So the left is like the past 2 weeks, and then the right side is the next 2 weeks, the future, what's coming up. And then the 3rd year was all red. And then I had a purple, like almost like halo above me. And then this year I'm all red with like a little hint of orange as well. I was like, I was thinking maybe it would be different because every time like I'll go with other people and I'll see they have like these beautiful, colorful auras, like all these different colors. I am just red, red, red. I'll look it up right now, but my understanding is that people with red auras is like it has mostly to do with passion and emotion, strength, drive, individuality. Like it's always been described to me as like I have a lot of passion and like a sort of lust for life that is unbreakable, which is exactly how I describe myself. So every time I've been told this, I've always been like, well, that's so fucking true. That's so fucking true, because yeah, what the hell? Yeah, a red aura is often associated with strength, passion, and a zest for life. It reflects an individual who is highly energetic, assertive, and driven. People with red auras are often seen as natural born leaders who possess an abundance of physical and mental vitality. Red, well-grounded, energetic, strong-willed. And then I guess the orange that I was seeing as well, somebody was saying that the orange is like a sexual and creative thing. Overall, an orange aura represents creativity and intense energy. Orange is associated with the sacral chakra, associated with the emotional body and sensuality. If you're seeing orange in your aura, that's a good indication that your sacral chakra is unblocked and in flow. Period. Confidence, optimism, creativity, inspiration, emotional balance. So, I don't know. Listen, I like those explanations. It's fun. I got a cute little picture. It's just so weird to me that it's always the same. I was saying to my friends, I was like, next time I'm in like a deep depression and everything is awful, we need to go get our auras read to see if it's different. Because maybe it would be. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, my vibe is so intense and consistent that it just doesn't, it's not going to vary. I am who I am, baby. So I started watching Love is Blind season 5. I am not all the way caught up. I probably watched 5 episodes right now. They just finished their honeymoon and now they're going into living together, but I haven't seen any of the living together stuff yet. So I'm behind what's currently been aired. But I started watching and I already have so many thoughts. But again, I haven't seen everything. So if I say something that you're like, no, because this happened, I might not have seen it. So my opinions could change. My thing about Love is Blind is I wish the show was like a little bit more self-aware, because this show isn't about testing whether or not Love is Blind, let's be honest. I wish that the producers would be like a little bit more self-aware for what the show actually is. This is why I love Love Island, because I feel like Love Island is very aware of what it is. But then with shows like Love is Blind, we're like, we're testing to see if love is really blind. Like, we know it's not. So what we're not, we proved it. We proved that it wasn't the first season. And we already knew that it wasn't. Also, not to mention, the people that you have on the show, a lot of them don't look like intensely different from each other. You're not casting people for the show that are like of a really diverse range of appearances and experiences. These people are all relatively similar to each other. So I don't know. Every time I watch it, I'm like, why are we continuing to act like this is some type of legitimate social experiment? Because it is not. Like, I wish it would just, I don't know. I wish they would, like, enough with the narration of like seeing if love really is blind. It's fucking not. Like, I think the concept is interesting. I would love to go on a blind date. I think it'd be fun. I think dating in pods sounds fun, but I'll be honest, the reason why it sounds fun to me is not because of the blind part. It's about the like just getting to sit and talk to somebody and having nothing else scheduled besides sitting and talking to somebody. Like, it's the appeal of the pods to me is the same reason why I would love to just lay in bed for an entire Sunday with somebody that I'm super into and talk to them for hours. That sounds fun to me for the same reason the pods sound fun to me. Like, yeah, I do just want to like chill out on a couch and talk to somebody and learn every part of what makes them tick as a person. I do want to sit there and just like, let's get right in. All right, baby, let's strap in. Tell me everything about you that I've ever needed to know ever. And they're doing it because they're like, oh, we're getting engaged. And I'm doing it because I'm like, let's fall in love. Why don't we? We don't need to get engaged, but like, tell me everything. Tell me fucking everything. So I don't know. It like, it sounds fun to me, but I think the reason why it sounds fun to me is just because I love a sleepover, and that's what the pods are, is it not? It's like they're just sitting in there like getting all cuddly on the couch, being like, so tell me about your upbringing. It's not like, yeah, let's get into it, why don't we, let's talk about your parents, what's going on. Like, I that just sounds fun to me. It does. It always goes back to the sleepover vibes, doesn't it? Anyways, okay, Love is Blind season 5. So there was an interesting conversation about cheating that happened in episode 1. Before I talk about it, I just want to say I'm on neither of their sides. I wouldn't date either of these people. So the conversation topic comes up and Aaliyah admits that she had cheated in a previous relationship, and that previous relationship was only 2 years ago. Now, I believe that people can change and that people can make mistakes that they fully realize and grow from. I don't know that that happens in 2 years' time. And also, it would take, I don't know, personally, if I'm dating someone, if I go out with someone and I learn that they've cheated in a past relationship and it's recent, it's going to be like a hard no for me. If I learn that they've cheated in a past relationship and X amount of time has passed and they seem to have a good grasp on reflections, how they've grown from it, how they see it now, how they speak about it is really going to be like the biggest indicator to me if I feel comfortable being with them or not. Because I do believe that people can change, but I also believe that a lot of people don't change. So I'm willing to like hear someone out if they are the type of person that does change, but I also know that like a lot of people that do shit like that will never change. What was interesting was when Aaliyah had said that she cheated in a past relationship, Uche naturally had questions for her, as anyone would if they were in a past relationship. And I thought that Uche was making some pretty good points, to be honest, because right when he started asking questions, she was getting really defensive. And personally, it was a big red flag to me. The way that she was talking about it, it didn't seem like she had done a lot of reflection on what she had done. And also, she admitted to never having told her partner that she cheated on him because she didn't want to hurt his feelings. And he was like, I don't think that you're doing that to preserve his feelings. I think you're doing it to preserve yours, because it would be hard for you to admit to doing that, which I agree. I think that when people don't tell their partners about cheating, it's more of like an ego thing and a preserving them thing than it is preserving their partner. That's just me. But I thought he was asking good questions and making good call outs, and she was being really defensive in a way that I was like, yeah, this is why I think 2 years is too recent for someone to have like fully reflected and to be able to take full responsibility for their actions and acknowledge their wrongdoings. Like, I just feel like if you've cheated on someone and at any point in you talking about when you cheated, you turn blame on the person you cheated on, where you were like, I was unhappy too. Like, it was hard for me in this relationship too. If at any point you say that, get out. I don't care if that's like partially the truth. Cheating is never the answer to that. So I don't even know why that shit gets brought up. Like, a lot of people are unhappy in relationships and never cheat. So enough with that. I just feel like if you're going to, I don't know. To me, I just feel like if you have cheated in the past and you've fully grown from it and acknowledged the hurt you caused and why it was wrong and all of that, you wouldn't defend any part of what you did. So I thought it was an interesting conversation because I was like, damn, these are a lot of red flags. Like, I don't like this conversation at all. I think there's a lot of defensiveness going on Aaliyah's side. And then fucking towards the end of the conversation, Uche was like, well, I've cheated too, but I was 19 years old and it was just a kiss, so it wasn't that bad. And I was like, whoa, so you get to alleviate yourself of any guilt or responsibility for what you did because you deem it is not that bad? Like, shut up. You suck too, Uche. Now you're both on my shit list. Like, I was like, towards the beginning of the conversation, I was like, damn, she's getting defensive and he's asking good questions. But then it comes out that he has also cheated. He's also a cheater, but he wants to like downplay and rank what he did as less, but he's gonna judge her even though he's done the same thing, but he's gonna give himself a pass and not her. I was just like, you're corny. What was that about? Yeah, I didn't like that at all. And I also just feel like if you've cheated in a previous relationship and you open up to a potential new partner about this fact, I don't think that you can really be surprised if they are like, this is a deal breaker, this is a no. Obviously, this specific scenario is different because he has also cheated before, so he doesn't really have a fucking leg to stand on. And also, I don't think that he gets to decide what is like bad cheating and what isn't. I think cheating is cheating and cheating is traumatic. And I don't think that, like, as a cheater, you're allowed to be like, oh, well, it was just a kiss, because I'm sure it didn't fucking matter to the person that you cheated on if it was just a kiss or if it was more than that. It cheating is cheating, and it like is fucking awful, and it hurts, and I don't really give a fuck what you think the differences are. I think bad is bad, and you don't get to like relieve yourself of that guilt by being like, oh, it could have been worse, because you still did it. And I think you just have to like own that and take full accountability for it. So I'm not saying that he deserves any grace here, because I don't think this is, I just think this is like a bad scenario. This is like, they're both bad here. But I think in general, when we're speaking, like if you're opening up to a new partner and they haven't cheated before and you have, and this is like a deal breaker for them, I think you have to accept that that can be a deal breaker for people. And that would be like an acceptable deal breaker for people. Like, I don't know. It's mostly a deal breaker for me, too. If I learned that somebody that I'm with has cheated in a past relationship, that's going to give me like mega pause on the whole situation. If it's in recent years, it's 100% no for me. That is a deal breaker. If it is a lot of years in the past and they can show clear growth and responsibility and acknowledgement for the pain and hurt they caused, and they've been to therapy and they've done the work, then I will consider looking past that. But it would take a special person. It would take a really emotionally aware and like mature person for me to even want to look past that. And I think a lot of people probably feel the way that I feel. I don't know. Some people don't give a fuck about cheating at all, which I don't really understand. And then there's other people that are like, it's 100% no. And if I've learned someone's cheated in a past relationship, I don't care if they've grown or not. I will never date someone who's cheated before, which I also think is a fair assessment, to be honest. I think learning somebody has cheated in the past is like a completely valid reason for not wanting to be with someone. And I think that if you have cheated, you have to accept that that is like part of the consequence of what you've done. I don't know. Some people go through life being like, well, everyone cheats. And it's like, well, no, we don't. But I don't know. Wild, wild conversation, though. And then the other thing that I wanted to comment on was JP. First of all, I knew that man was a walking red flag when I picked up on how much fucking USA merchandise that he not only owns, but brought with him for filming. So I assume that he has even more of it and that his home is full of it. And I, you know, two episodes in, I knew who he voted for. I didn't need to ask. I knew. Even the way that he spoke, I just knew. In some of his answers in the pods to Taylor, I was like, girl, do you not care? Because
I know something about this guy. I don't think he's a good one.
And then they get engaged and they do their first meet, and then they're on the honeymoon, and he tells her that The like vibes are weird for them on the honeymoon. And it basically, he says that like things have changed. His energy shifted because she wore makeup on the day of their first meet, and it meant that she was fake. And he preferred that she wear no makeup because she's more beautiful that way. And she was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't wear makeup for you. Also, what do you mean? Like, I'm fake because I wore makeup to get engaged, to go to our first meetup, and I'm meeting you for the first time, and I just want to like feel good and feel my best. So I put on makeup, and you have the audacity, nerve, and gall to be like, and because you wore makeup, I've been treating you different for the last 5 days, and you shouldn't wear makeup because it makes you a fake. JP, are you on drugs right now? And then he has the audacity, nerve, and gall to be like, what? So 95% of women would be thrilled to hear that I prefer them without makeup. This guy's dense as fuck. But I wasn't surprised, right? Because all the United States of America fucking merchandise that that man was wearing, I was like, yeah, of course. What do you mean? What do you mean? This man was walking around like, USA, USA. And we thought that he was going to be different. No, we didn't. I didn't. I knew that he was going to be like that. I didn't need, I personally, I wouldn't have needed to look at his face to know that.
I got the vibes. The vibes were present.
But Taylor stood up for herself and she broke it off with him and they're not engaged. And good for her. Because that was crazy.
That was crazy town, USA.
Fall is here and I've been having the most fun ever doing my 30 outfits in 30 days series over on Instagram, in which I have featured quite a few of my recent Nuuly rentals. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service in which for just $98 a month, you get access to renting any 6 styles. You'll have access to thousands of pieces from hundreds of different brands, so you'll be able to explore new brands that you haven't tried before or try out some new pieces from brands that you already know that you love. Anthropologie is a brand that I shop at a lot, and lucky for me, they are all over the place on Nuuly. So I've gotten to try so many pieces from Anthro that maybe I've seen in store, I've seen online, but didn't know if I was going to love it. Now I get the opportunity to try it out before making the purchase. They carry sizes up to a 5X, as well as some petite and maternity sizing. You order your pieces, enjoy them for 30 days, and then at the end of the month, if you really love your pieces and they've grown on you a lot, you can buy them for a discounted price, or if not, you just throw the prepaid shipping label back on the box and send it back on to Nuuly. They've got fast free shipping and returns and a state-of-the-art cleaning facility. So if you get any stains on your clothes while you're renting them, a strap breaks, anything like that, don't worry about it. Just send them back to Nuuly at the end of the month and they will take care of it. Nuuly is a great value at just $98 a month for 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using code MADDIE20. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter code MADDIE20 to sign up to get $20 off your first month. Again, that's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code MADDIE20 for $20 off your first month. All right, why don't we get into some submissions here? If you don't know, there is a submission box for this show where you can submit anything and everything you'd like. Requests for advice, update on the gossip and the drama that's going on in your life, anything that you'd like to share at the sleepover, you are welcome to share at the sleepover. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, Maddie. About a year ago, I met the love of my life, and I feel blessed every moment I get to share with him. However, I have been dealing with this insecurity that never seems to actually resolve. We have both struggled with eating disorders in the past, which have taken different forms, his more extreme than mine. He is naturally very skinny and I am not. Although he has never criticized my body, in the back of my mind, there's always this worry that he would rather be with someone more appropriate for him, like the model thin girls he's dated in the past. I often find myself unconsciously comparing our bodies and feeling pressure to change myself. Also, on occasion, he will make fatphobic remarks towards others or himself, which I've understood has come down to ignorance and his family background, and I always make sure to firmly correct him. And in the moment, he listens, but he has a lifetime of these beliefs to unlearn. I feel uncomfortable being vulnerable with him about my body insecurities, knowing that there is a part of him that idolizes thinness, and I sometimes think that if I weighed more, he wouldn't have fallen in love with me at all. I wonder if I will continue to feel triggered by him for as long as we're together. I know our love transcends physicality, but I constantly feel reminded of how much larger I am than him. I'm so sorry. That's really hard. Yeah, this is really difficult. I feel like being someone who struggled a lot with my body image in the past and has now been in a very different, more healed era of my life in the body image department for the last few years. It is difficult for me to be around people that lack a self-awareness in this department. I'm not saying that it's difficult for me to be around people who struggle with their body image. I'm saying it's difficult for me to be around people who lack a kind of like self-awareness when it comes to what they're saying and who they're saying it in front of. So I can talk to people and be supportive and be like a listening ear and a friend to people struggling with body image stuff, so long as they maintain that like self-awareness of what they're saying and who they're saying it to. So when it comes to like other fat people that struggle with body image, they can say literally fucking anything. Like there's no rules for what other fat people can or cannot say. Cause I just feel like if you're experiencing life in a fat body, living in a fat phobic society, you're going through life experiencing that, you can say whatever the fuck you want. So if it's another fat person talking to me about that kind of stuff, it's never going to bother me because I just feel like we've lived a similar experience. I see you, you see me, we get it. What I mean when I say people that lack a kind of self-awareness is like when somebody who has never lived life in a fat body and is like a size 2 will look at someone like me and be like, I feel so fat and ugly today. And they'll look to me for comfort in that moment. And I'm like, I'm not the one for that. You picked the wrong girl to ask for comfort and say some dumb shit like that. Like I am so over people that talk about their body image issues, in a way that harms other people. I think it is sincerely so easy. And this is why I have a low tolerance policy for it. It's so easy to talk about your insecurities and what's going on with your body, having a bad body image day, not feeling confident in your clothes, feeling like you don't want to go outside because you just don't feel good in yourself. There's a lot of ways to talk about that without ever saying something fatphobic. So when people use fatphobic language when they talk about their insecurities and they're not fat themselves, I have a very low tolerance policy for that, and I do find it very hard to be around people like that, which is why I'm not close with people like that, because I know that that's not something that I can personally be around. I can't stand to be around people who don't understand and don't seem able to acknowledge what a different life they have lived in a small body than those of us in larger bodies. Like I have plenty of people in my life that struggle with body image issues, but none of them would ever say something fatphobic about themselves while venting to me or claim to like understand my experience as a fat person because they also struggle with body image. And so I think it feels crucial for me to be with someone that understands me on that level. Not that I need to be with another fat person who like fully understands the experience, but at the very least that I'm with someone that understands why they shouldn't use language like that, why they shouldn't speak about their bodies using fatphobic language when they're not fucking fat. So this is really difficult. And I'm not saying that you have to feel the way that I feel by any means. I think this would be a deal breaker for me personally. And that's because I am at a certain place in my healing journey with myself at this point. And I know what I can and can't be around. And people who lack a certain self-awareness when it comes to communicating their body image issues is something I absolutely cannot be around. In a relationship, in a partnership, I want to be with someone that makes me feel like totally loved and understood. Understood, heavy emphasis on understood. And I don't know that I can feel that way with someone that is so entrenched in idolizing thinness. I think fat liberation and body positivity is like central to my being. It's a big part of my value system. I don't feel like I could feel truly understood and loved by someone who did things like that, because that to me tells me that you don't understand. You've never tried to understand my experience and my body image journey. You're just so consumed with your own body image journey and how you feel that you're unable to see how the words you use matter and how they could impact someone that you love. And also I just don't want to date someone that sees bodies in that way, that idolizes thinness, that sees, I don't know. It would just really bother me because that's not how I see it. And I think I've long said that you can struggle with your body and have bad body image and not be fat phobic. You can talk about how you're having a bad body image day, how you're struggling. You can talk through how you learned what you did about your body image, how you got to where you are now, and open up to the people in your life, to your partner, as you should. You can do all of that without ever using fat phobic language. I think the words that we use matters, and self-awareness is a trait that I really value in a partner, particularly in this category, right? It's not that I need a partner that's completely healed or that doesn't struggle with their bodies. Obviously, that is not a standard of mine that I have, but I need someone that has a certain level of self-awareness and that also holds the same core values as me when it comes to like the hierarchy of bodies and body image and what we should value, fat liberation, body positivity, body acceptance. I need someone that has those same values as me in order to feel comfortable. I just don't think that I could truly feel safe and supported and loved in a relationship with someone that didn't believe those same things as me. It's just like so core to my identity that it feels like it can't, yeah, it can't be any other way. I'm too far in my healing journey. I'm too far away from the version of myself that struggled with eating disorder behaviors and shit like that for me to be around someone that brings me back to that or that like puts my recovery at risk, you know? But I will say, and this is probably obvious to other fat people, but maybe not as obvious to people that aren't fat, but what I'm saying right now doesn't apply to other fat people. This is why I like dating other fat people, honestly, because I just feel like there's a mutual understanding there. And I just feel a lot more at ease with people who share that same understanding. And it's a lot easier for me to be with someone who struggles with their body image and they're also fat than the other way around. Because there's just like a mutual self-awareness when we have the shared experience. So personally, this would be really hard for me. I can't tell you where this falls on your importance scale. To me, this is really high on my personal importance scale. I couldn't be with someone that I couldn't rely on and confide in and feel really safe with in this specific department, because this is like the center point of everything I've struggled with in my life. It comes back to this. So I need to be with someone who values the same things that I do. And that's just it for me. Hello, Maddie. I feel like I should learn how to give less of a fuck. By that, I don't mean to become a mean asshole who doesn't care about other people, but just to be able to emotionally differentiate what and whose opinions are important to me. Right now, I feel like I care about everything and everyone and their mother's opinion of anything, which is really unhealthy and quite frankly depressing. You seem to have learned the art of being very sensitive and caring while simultaneously not letting other people's opinions bring you down. Do you have any tips or mantras or anything to share within this subject? I'm already in therapy, but I feel like I have so much stuff to work through that will take an eternity to learn to be confident. That's why I'm coming to my favorite sensitive girl on the internet for advice. You know, I really appreciate that you think that I have mastered the balance here, because I don't know if I have. I think I've gotten a lot better. I'll give myself some credit because I have done a lot of emotional work in this department, but I'm by no means someone that doesn't care what other people think of me. I definitely do. It manifests in different ways, I'll say. Like I think I'm getting better at differentiating whose opinions I should take into account and whose I shouldn't, but I still struggle a lot with caring what people think and like the people pleasing side of things, always saying yes to people, feeling bad saying no to people, always feeling like I need to, I don't know, just do the most for everyone always and feeling bad when I don't. That is something I absolutely still struggle with to an intense degree. And I think that connects here, though. That's maybe a part of me that the internet doesn't see, but that's still something that I know that I do that I struggle with all the fucking time. I think I've gotten a lot better at differentiating like whose opinions I need to take seriously and whose I don't, because this is like part of the reason why I started therapy in the first place, was because I was feeling really overwhelmed reading so much content about myself online, good and bad. Like seeing so many people respond to my content and react to me. I just needed to be in therapy because I don't think any human being should be subjected to like that many people's reactions to you, good or bad. And so I feel like through therapy, I've learned a lot about trusting my own opinion of myself and putting more stock into the opinions of people that actually fucking know me. So I'm always going to trust the opinions of like my family, my therapist, and my best friends over random strangers on the internet. Like if some stranger on the internet writes a 6-paragraph essay on how I'm the most annoying person ever and I've changed and I'm whatever, this, that, and the third, and they think one way about me, but my best friends and my family and my therapist all disagree with them, who do you think I'm going to trust? Whose opinion do you think that I'm going to put more stock into? Obviously, it's the people that know and love me the most, the people whose opinions I trust. And now, obviously, not everyone is in the position that I'm in where you're reading hate comments or comments from strangers who literally don't know you. Sometimes it's just like within the people in your life, whose opinions do you want to put the most stock in? Who do you trust to have your best interest at heart? Because I think that like even, you know, people aren't perfect. And sometimes maybe in newer friendships or a friendship with somebody who maybe is not that great of a friend, maybe when you ask for advice, the advice they give you is more based in what they want you to do versus what you should do. Or, you know, sometimes people say things that are more colored by their own experiences and their own feelings than they are like necessarily having your best interest at heart. Like, for example, my best friend, Ashley, is someone who I always trust to give me a completely honest and fair opinion. If I needed to be criticized, I trust that Ashley would do that for me. And she'd do it in a way that was kind and loving and with my best interest at heart. Ashley is someone that I trust really loves me, who sees all of me, who understands me on such, like, Ashley and it's different with her. Everything is different with her. That is my best fucking friend. She understands me in a way that nobody else on earth understands me. So if she's telling me something, I trust that she's saying it with all the love in the world, that she's being honest with me, that she's being truthful with me, and that like she would never do or say something to intentionally hurt me. I just trust the fuck out of her. And so she's someone whose opinion I really care about and whose opinion I really trust. And obviously there's years and years of friendship to back this up, why I feel this way, why I feel so safe with her, why I trust her. So if someone that's known me for 6 months hits me with some type of criticism that I think is a little unfair, and I say to Ashley, someone said this to me and this feels a little unfair, and I trust Ashley in that moment to not bullshit me. I trust her to be able to look at me and say, no, Maddie, you're actually in the wrong here if I'm in the wrong. Or for her to say, don't fucking worry about it. I see you. I know you. This doesn't apply. I think I've just gotten better at being able to spot out when someone's opinions of me or criticisms of me are more colored by their own experiences or their own biases more than they are the truth. And obviously, like on the internet, it gets even more complicated, right? When people are like just straight up leaving hate comments and shit. I mean, I guess this happens in like real life too. People are just fucking mean for no reason. But like, there's so many reasons why people can be mean and nasty and unkind to you. So many reasons why someone might not give you the benefit of the doubt, why someone might assume the worst from you, that have nothing to do with you. People have like their own sets of issues and their own shit that they're dealing with. And sometimes that is really influencing how they're speaking about you, how they're judging you, how they're seeing you. And it's not necessarily anything to do with you. Like, for example, jealousy is like a big motivator for why people act in wild, asshole-ish type ways, especially on the internet. People feel jealous of someone, and people, maybe they really like a creator, and then slowly over time they start to feel really jealous of this creator to the point where they have to invent reasons not to like this person to convince themselves why they actually shouldn't be jealous of them. People have to boost themselves up by making other people feel like shit. And I think over time, when you become more secure in yourself, in your own perspective, when you have those people close to you that you really trust the opinions and assessment of, when you have this like jury of people, including yourself, that will help you navigate like worthwhile criticisms versus criticism that you should throw out, when you have a better group of people and a more solid footing with yourself, it'll become a lot easier to separate what you should take to heart and what you shouldn't, what you should care about and what you shouldn't. And it is hard, but it does get easier. And that's what I'll say. I'll say 2 years ago, I struggled with this a lot more than I do now. Hello, Maddie. You've changed my life and your videos and podcasts bring me immense joy. I was wondering if you have any thoughts on the overuse / weaponization of therapy language that really ends up just making people less connected. I'm a therapy girly, gender neutral myself, and I'm so thankful to have had access to so much amazing mental health care. However, a friend of mine just told me that it is unhealthy of me to need a point person in social situations, like someone to check in with, and it is unhealthy to need reassurance from people. Mm-mm. I'm both autistic and a survivor of emotional abuse, so this is crazy to say to me from the standpoint of me having things that I can't fully heal from. But also this idea that being fully independent is the goal in therapy is really concerning to me. I do think being comfortable being alone is a great goal to have, but not to become completely emotionally detached from yourself and others. Just thought that you would have good stuff to say about this since you're also emotional and in therapy, and because maybe you've run into people like this too. Much love from a fellow sensitive, often weepy, highly romantic human. Yeah, I completely disagree with your friend. First of all, I do agree that there is a problem with like the overuse and weaponization of therapy language. This is not an example of that. When we talk about the overuse or weaponization of therapy language, it's when people are using therapy language in situations where it does not apply. Like when men are saying that it's my boundary that you don't have any male friendships. It's my boundary that you only talk to me and that you don't talk to anybody else. The whole fucking Jonah Hill. I always confuse Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen, so that's why I paused there for a second. I think it was Jonah Hill. The whole Jonah Hill shit where he was like, it's my boundary that you don't wear bikinis. And she was literally a surf instructor. Her job was to be in the water. And he's like, my boundary is, it's like, that's not a boundary. And like, those are that is what people are referring to when they are talking about the overuse and weaponization of therapy language, using buzzwords and shit that you've learned in therapy and applying them in ways that absolutely make no fucking sense whatsoever, not just like applying what you learned in therapy in real life, because you absolutely should be doing that. Part of why we go to therapy is to learn things that we can then implement into our day-to-day lives that make our lives better. So if you know that you struggle with a lot of social anxiety and it helps you to have a point person when you're in group social settings where you can check in with them and just sort of like, you know, ground yourself a little bit, then that's awesome. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's wild that anybody would say that from you. And also, it is not unhealthy to need reassurance from people. I can't stand this line of thinking. The hyper-independence crew, these people miss the mark, right? And this is coming from someone that is very independent. I work for myself. I live alone. I do a lot of my life by myself. I've been single for many years. I am a very independent person by nature. I'm also someone who loves community, who loves connection, who craves closeness, and I rely on a lot of people. I could not get through this life without my best friends, without my family, without the people closest to me. having a solid foundation on your own is great. Being comfortable on your own is great. Not needing people is a lie. We all need people. We all need community. We all need support. Everybody at some point needs reassurance. And I don't get why people think you would need to never need reassurance ever in order to be like a secure person. I don't think it's like people go so far off the deep end where it's like, yes, independence is great. Having security in yourself is awesome. You know, being able to do things for yourself because you want to do them, not waiting around for other people to like give you the permission to go and do the things that you want to do in this life, not always needing a partner, being able to be on your own and feel happy and secure. Those are important. We don't have to go farther than that. We can sit there. We don't have to go past that and go into like the point where you're numbing yourself. You're becoming emotionally numb and detached in the name of independence and being someone that doesn't need reassurance ever. That to me is not being secure. That's being detached. It's being avoidant. And that is not the solution. That is not what we want. There is no world where you are fully healed or you never need to reflect another day in your life. You are just, you're done, you finished, you completed life, game over, and you just live the rest of your life. You're like, I finished. I actually did all the work. I actually already finished my homework, so like it's just, you're lying if you say shit like that, because that's not how it works. And we are complicated people who need community and support and love and reassurance. And these are very normal things to need as a person. And we don't have to shut off those needs or that part of ourselves. And it's wild. It makes me feel really sad for people that think that you do have to do that. It just makes me sad for them. And it makes me wonder like where they learned that they needed to shut off that part of themselves, where people learned that they needed to be cold in that way, that they weren't allowed to ask for reassurance, that it would be a bad thing if they did. Connects to all like the too muchness stuff that I talk about, because I think a lot of people go through things, end up in situations where they start believing that how they feel is too much, that asking for reassurance in a relationship and a friendship is asking for too much from people, that they're a burden, that their emotions are a burden. And I think that's how people end up saying things like this. I can see how it happens, right? Because I've talked over and over again about how for a lot of my life, I felt like I was too much and that my needs made me a burden. When in reality, I think that a lot of people are just really avoidant, and they make people that are not avoidant feel crazy. And so I feel bad for people that think like this, because it's not true. And I don't think this is an opinion you need to take to heart. And I'm sorry that they said that to you, because it's not unhealthy to need a point person in social situations. And it's also not unhealthy to need reassurance from people. In fact, I think it's actually the complete inverse of that. I think it's really healthy to be able to know what you need in a social situation and communicate so that you do feel comfortable. Communicate with friends so that you're able to come to solutions that work for both of you. I also think it's great to be able to communicate that you need reassurance. A lot of people don't know how to fucking do that. A lot of people will just say things and attempt to get reassurance rather than straight up saying like, I need reassurance. I'm feeling insecure today and I would really appreciate if you could just make me feel safe. That's huge to be able to communicate that and ask for that. I think that actually makes you a really healthy person. I think those are green flags to me, not red flags. And I unfortunately feel that your friend might have fallen victim to, you know, the world of hyper independence and anti too muchness. And that sucks for them. And I hope that they learn that life doesn't have to be that way. And that community and love and reassurance and that kind of closeness is really important. So, yeah, I wouldn't take that personally, though. Anyway, sun is going down. It's time for me to get ready to go to trivia. So I'm going to start getting ready and head out. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. I hope you guys had a wonderful Friday the 13th. Be sure to follow me on Instagram if you haven't already. Again, I'm doing the 30 outfits in 30 days series throughout the month of October. So be sure to follow me on there. Check out what I'm wearing. Love you guys so much. I will see you next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Save big on everything you need when you shop at Menards. Spidey Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Stay connected to home while you're away with wireless outdoor security cameras. Control all your smart home products from anywhere using one easy-to-use app. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save